Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the NPCs Presents Fireside Magic, where Kyle and I, that's Travis, by the way, get together, play magic, talk about things that are going on in the world, whether it's video games, life, you know, really anything, I guess. And yeah, so that's what we're doing here. It's episode 3. Yeah, I'm Travis, and that's Kyle over there scrolling through his phone.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, what's up is that, yeah, you're scrolling through your phone. So, yeah. getting started on this, I guess, Kyle, you know, before we start shooting the shit on anything here, what type of deck are you playing then tonight?
Tonight I am playing a, The Murders of Karlov Manor, but it is a Plains Mountain Destruction deck.
Okay.
And like straight up, I'm pretty sure this one, granted, here lately, of course, all my decks, especially if I'm buying a new bundle set, I just throw together the colors that I seem to feel like I have a good enough amount of cards to make a full deck. So I'm kind of going off of that, but from what I've seen, it's going to kind of equate to a destruction deck.
Oh, jeez. Fair enough. All right. And me, I'm running a black-red deck, which is made from the Magic 21 set. I can't remember exactly what that was, like Core 21, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whatever, yeah. But I can't remember everything that's in it, though, now. Again, yeah, it's red-black. I know there's a lot of, like, demons and things in here, though, too. And I think there's some, definitely like with the black and that, I think I've got some like life sucking type, creatures and abilities that are in here as well. So this is going to be fun. Yeah, I guess before we start talking on stuff here, let's get things rolling. Oh my God, Kyle, I'm starting there at bottom a 7.
Holy cow.
7 mana on that one card.
Well, I know one of your good cards is at the bottom then.
Watch, and I draw something that says, you know, pull creature card from the bottom.
You win. I got a 1.
Okay, I'll start then. All right. Easy enough to get things going here. So I'll start by playing a land. And that's it for me.
Cool. So I will draw.
Kyle, I meant to ask you this last episode. And it got me wondering here a little bit more, though, on how this is going to actually work in the market. So you were talking, you love your handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking the other night to me about how the Asus ROG Ally, or at least Asus, is going to be refreshing the ROG Ally like every year.
Yeah, I had been seeing actually all sorts of rumors online about potentially refreshes, and it seems to be adding up because it looks like they already have models lined up for 2024. Or a 24 edition of the handheld that does have actually upgrades. So I mean that kind of raises the question: is that really necessary? Is that where the handheld market's going to be going? That, you know, it's like PCs where they're going to come out with new models every year.
I wouldn't compare it to PCs. I would compare the Steam Deck to PCs.
Right.
Mostly for the modularity where you can actually replace the stuff inside, like to the fullest extent possible that you can. But like with the ROG Ally, I would compare that more to like a phone release every year instead. Like, you know, we always expect a brand new Samsung Galaxy phone to come out every year, a new Apple iPhone to come out
every
year.
Fair.
I would compare it more to that because the ROG Ally hasn't necessarily been presented as one where you can replace components in it easily, whereas like the Steam Deck, they actually have the partnership with iFixit to replace your screen, replace your entire main board, replace joysticks. I mean, hell, you could build an entire Steam Deck off of everything that
they
sell.
This is true.
Sure, it's going to be a markup, but at the same time, it's like that option's there.
But on the other hand, though, the Ally is a Windows unit. So, I mean, it literally is, out of the box, a PC that you have to run the ROG Arsenal program, which, to be fair, it automatically boots when the system boots up, and you can close it out and go to your Windows desktop.
Right.
And it's, you know, basically just on your Windows 11 taskbar, but it is a Windows PC.
Yeah.
And I mean, we already see lots of really cool, fascinating new laptops, some of which, you know, do hit the market, some of which are just kind of proof of concepts where, you know, even some of the cooler ones that we thought were going to be proof of concepts where they had the RGB displays on the back that you could customize and, you know, all of these fascinating, you know, multifold monitors or, you know, extendable monitors. They're coming to fruition now. So that's the reason I think, is it going to be like a laptop? Are we going to see that ROG Ally every year that it has minor upgrades that eventually will be upgradable? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, I just wanted to talk about it a little bit more though, because there's no value in buying one of these things like every single year then, especially if, you know, like for the cost of them and for what their actual purpose is. Something like the Steam Deck, on the other hand, with that potential for upgradability or at least the ability to replace stuff quick, makes the sense that you might see a refresh every couple of years. But I just can't imagine who they're going to try to serve, like who Asus or even if Lenovo follows suit with it, or MSIs as well. You know, are they going to be in that position where they are going to release new hardware every year, you know, or a refresh of some type, and it's going to be the same price? It's just like, I can't afford to go buy like a new iPhone every year.
Right.
So every couple of years I'll upgrade. But
Then there is the other disadvantage that even though it is a Windows PC in every sense of the word, that it has lots of compatibility issues, whereas the Steam Deck, Valve is always constantly working on compatibility, even for legacy titles. And with your Ally, you're getting a select number of modern or new titles that are coming out that you'll be able to play, but you might potentially be relegated to those only, depending on how far the support goes.
Yeah.
And how far is the support going to go if we're coming out with a new unit every year?
Yeah, I agree on that one especially. And even if you can't replace parts inside of it to kind of help, like, keep the one you've bought going, you know, it's just another electronic to buy every year, which doesn't make sense. I just don't see it as being a good value proposition for it. Unless they figured something out where it's like, okay, we're going to release this next model because we figured out all the bugs and kinks with the other one, and we're not going to release a new one for another couple of years. We've determined we're going to go on the path of upgradability. But it's also Asus. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't see anything like that.
I could see them just trying to milk it for all it's worth, you know, doing the every year thing, producing limited number of units. I mean, they like I said, they come out with cool laptops every year, and I don't know what the availability is like on them. I can't imagine that they have a continuous market, or at least the same market for, you know, that they're selling to every year. Because let's face it, how many people other than like tech YouTubers upgrade their laptops every year, you know? And who's going to, even if it's half the cost of a laptop or a third of the cost of a laptop, who's going to upgrade their handheld computer every year just so they can play a marginally larger number of titles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't see the value in something like that because it's just a waste. And it's, yeah, exactly like you said, unless there was some sort of value in upgrading every year besides just, oh, okay, I know the processor is going to be new and I know the GPU is going to be new. But besides that, if like the screen is still the same, if the chassis is still the same, if the memory and the storage you're still using is the exact same, you know, did you really gain a lot though with it? You
see, know? And I think that's where Valve knows what they're doing. They understand that, you know, if you're going to come out with another unit, it has to make an advance. It has to make a leap. You can't just come out with the same unit, you know. I mean, granted, they did do the OLED model, but they were looking at OLED when they released the system initially, and it just wasn't necessarily feasible at that time financially for the consumer particularly.
Yeah.
And now that it was, they came out with the OLED system. But there's not, they've physically said there's not going to be any more new Steam Decks for a little while. Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, you think about it, even with Sony saying stuff like, you know, that they're at the latter part of the PlayStation lifespan. That just means that they've kind of hit necessarily the peak of what the current hardware is at, and they're at full understanding.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to advance.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. But I just wanted to bring that up because I found that fascinating when you had made mention of it. And I was just like, oh, that'd be something good to talk about here, because it still just blows my mind anyway that this handheld market is so new, at least in respect to like handheld PCs.
Well,
and it's just, it needs some more time to mature, I think, before like we see a yearly release of hardware, especially at the cost they're asking.
Well, and you think about the explosion of handheld PCs and the way it happened so quick. I mean, there's always been the GPD Win series. Well, not always, but for quite a few years now.
Right, and what they've offered has been more of like a clamshell style experience, where right. it's a screen that would fold close, and you'd have the keyboard on there, the physical keyboard, and then you've had the controls.
Right,
and then they kind of moved towards like a Nintendo Switch model. You know, and that's really what set the standard for how these handhelds end up being built.
Yeah, and like I mean, they've tinkered with a few different models. They had one that was like a Sidekick, the old T-Mobile Sidekick, yep. where it slid up.
Yep.
But that. Beyond that, I want to say it was around the same time that the Steam Deck would have been launching. That's when all of a sudden you saw Aya Neo and what was the other one? Ion, like AYN, they came out with the Ion Next.
Yeah, I can't remember though what else.
And I haven't even heard of Ion since then.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like I think they released two versions of the console, and I haven't heard anything about them since then. Aya Neo, they still are going. I've heard that they have new handheld computers out, but none of those other distributors really understand how the handheld market works, I feel like, and that's why we're seeing them continuously pump out new units into the market so quickly, because they don't understand that there has to be an advance for consumers to continuously buy your product.
Absolutely. All right, well,
but
you played something.
Yeah, I did go ahead and play and tap a mountain so I could play a goblin mask maker. Whenever he attacks, face-down spells I cast that turn cost one less.
Oh, okay.
So if I have anything that's face down that I wanted to resummon, essentially, I could pay it for one less cost.
Okay. Okay. All right, and that's it then at this point?
That's it.
Okay. All right, I will go ahead and play another land here and draw a card, and I will go ahead and tap those two lands to bring out Hobble Fiend, which is a creature, devil. It has trample. And if I sacrifice another creature after I pay one, I can put a 1/1 counter on Hobble Fiend. So yeah, I mean, a little devil creature there. And that is it for me, boss. You're up.
Okie dokie. And actually, the thing that sucks is he is like literally opposite of what my Goblin Mask Maker is. Like, he's got a 2/1 and I'm a 1/2.
We just hit each other in the face and we're both dead. That's it.
Double KO.
Seems like something out of Scott Pilgrim. By the way, I know that it's been up on the service now for several months anyway. Have you watched the new Scott Pilgrim series?
I really need to. I've been meaning to. I here lately, I've been sucked into like crime dramas and well, not crime dramas, but true crime stuff. And I just watched a thing on a cult recently. That it was all about this cult that was into cloning and stuff. So that was kind of weird.
Here I am just rewatching Gundam Wing and you right. know, it's,
yeah. Hey, how's that the 8th MS team
shut
coming?
Up. Ah, shut yeah. up, I know. Well, the problem is that it's like, yes, I appreciate you letting me borrow your Hulu account, but unfortunately, I thought I saved the password, but I didn't.
Oh.
And so I'm signed in on my computer, but I'm not signed in anywhere else.
Oh, geez.
And so, of course, I'll put on Gundam Wing in the background when I'm at work just to have some noise. And so I'm almost done with Gundam Wing again. You know, it's like the first time I've watched the whole thing through since I was a kid. But yes,
but you
I know.
Said you've never seen You've never seen the Endless Waltz, right?
I don't think I have.
Oh man, you have to see Endless Waltz.
Well, I will,
calm down. I've got all these other things that are eating up my attention and time right now. So just chill. I'll get there. Jeez.
Fair enough. Jeez.
Well, like, they keep on announcing new things, though, too, all the time that keep on driving my attention, you know, like, or pulling my attention away. Like, it's tough to watch, like, a new show or getting anything. What did you play, really quick?
So I played a Plains and a Vengeful Tracker that whenever an opponent sacrifices an artifact, he deals 2 damage to you directly.
Ow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a nice one, I suppose, there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess... Want to play hit for hit?
No, I'll just take the 1 damage.
Okay, fair enough. That was probably smarter anyway.
That was fine. All right, so you're done then?
I'm done.
All right, I will go ahead and play another land, and I will draw, and... Okay. All right, so... No, that's it for me here on this one. So you're up now. But no, the big thing is that it's like, I don't have the time to like get invested in this. Like I hate to say it. Okay. That's the worst way to put it. I have the time. I just use it for other things right now. Like playing the same game over again or having a family I need to take care of because things keep happening there. What else is there? There's the stuff with work. And you just kind of get into those comfort zones. Like, unfortunately for me, it's been watching a bunch of like Game Grumps compilations of like, you know, like Aaron's rage moments or laughing their asses off moments. And I get stuck into those ones because it's like, you know, it's, I don't know. It's that serotonin boost you get there. Whereas like for starting a new show, you're like, oh God, except I have asked my wife because now that she's a college student again, she has access to those student discounts. I want her to get Paramount Plus again so I can start watching Halo Season 2.
Ah, there you go.
Because I've heard so many good things about Halo Season 2. Even what's weird, this is what blew my mind, okay? You know who Howard Stern is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a trial with SiriusXM right now. Mm-hmm. And from taking the car into the shop for some reason. Like, here's a 3-month trial for you. So I've been listening to Howard Stern. And he was talking, apparently he's into Halo, like the really? He's into the TV series. Yeah. And it threw me off to hear like Howard Stern saying like, yeah, have you guys seen that Halo show? That's really good. You know, I was like, what? But I will say as a fan of Halo, at least from like the books and the games and that, I don't see how he's a fan of Season 1. But I guess if you come into it blind without knowing anything, you might be okay. But yeah, it's like, Howard Stern's a fucking fan of Halo, the TV series.
That's crazy.
Like what reality?
Yeah, what planet are we living on now?
What did you play there?
So I played another Plains and then played Inside Source. It is a human creature that when they enter the battlefield, I create a 2/2 white and blue detective creature token.
Okay.
And yeah. Beyond that, I'm going to, I guess, attack for 3.
Okay, well, then I'll go ahead and I will block. I will block this guy here.
Okay.
So they're both gone. I'll just take the 1. Okay, cool. So Hovel Fiend is gone. I take 1. Okay, well, I lose that trample. That's fine. Okay. Is that it for you then?
That is it for me.
All right, Chief. Let's go ahead and play a land. Let's draw. Uh-oh. Might be happening again, Kyle. Oh, shit. All right, that's it for me there. But no, it's just I'm like, I'm so stuck here on these things.
I'm baffled now.
But even so, it's like I'm still just stuck on these things here where it's like I get into my comfort zone. I know what I like. I know what I want to do. And it's like we're starting up anything new. Like I haven't even finished the Yu Yu Hakusho live action on Netflix.
See, and I haven't even started
it. I started it, but I haven't gone through it because like I want to watch and see how much it matches, you know? And now we've got Avatar coming out on Netflix or soon too. And We got Helldivers 2 to play. We got all these video games going on. Of course, Halo Infinite operation rolls over in a couple weeks. I've got training to do as well, too. Like, I need to start some stuff with AWS. I've still got my internet stuff. Kyle, I don't have time. Why are we playing Magic right now when I should be doing all these other things? I don't know. I feel like I'm just complaining to complain. I should be. I'm fine, but it's just at the same time. It's like, God damn it. Where's all this time going anymore now? Uh-oh, are you stuck too?
I'm going to play Due Diligence. It's an enchantment. My creature gets 2/2 and vigilance, and then another creature gets 2/2 and vigilance for a turn.
Okay.
And then I'm going to attack for, that'd be 3. That's 6, and then that's 8.
Ow. All right. Well, that was a heavy hit there. Okay. That took me down to 10. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, that sucks. Okay, come on, cards. Let's make this happen. Give me something good here. All right. Play a land and come on. All right, cool. That works for me. All right. So I am going to tap 2 and play Kite Sail Freebooter. So it has flying, and when it enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-creature, non-land card from it. Exile that card until Kite Sail Freebooter leaves the battlefield. So I guess you can tell me if you, like, before showing me, do you have any non-land, non-creature cards?
Yes.
Okay, all right, let's see them. Let's see, well, okay. So is this going to piss you off if this one goes away? Okay, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, War Leader calls, deals 1 damage each opponent. All right, so that is exiled.
For now.
For now.
Until that SOB.
Okay, all right.
Because I was going to play that this turn.
Sorry, bud. Okay, all right, so I'm going to tap 1 here, and I'm also going to play this artifact, Silent Dart, but I'm not doing anything else with it because I can't do anything yet. And that is it for me. Silent Dart, it pay 4, untap, sacrifice it. It deals 3 damage to target creature.
Okay. And he's a 1/1 or
he's a 1/2 with flying.
1/2 with flying.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. As I suffer here with half my health already gone.
Untap.
Call a doctor.
Yeah. You may need it.
The Muffin Man. I don't know. I was making the voice there for a second. And that just got stuck in my head.
Did I send you that TikTok thing?
The one where the guy's in the hospital room and it's like the meds kicked in for my roommate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be me in the hospital. Oh, man. Come on, Kyle. You've already taken away half my health. How are we going to just ruin this already?
I know.
I mean, you didn't say a destruction deck. I guess I drew a pretty crappy hand here. What's funny is we spent more of the episode talking about, like, the handhelds and that than we actually have playing.
Right. So I guess short I will episode. Play...
I don't get a redemption arc this episode, folks.
Hazda Vigilante. Whenever Hazda Vigilante enters the battlefield or attacks, put a 1/1 counter on a target creature you control with a power of 2 or less. So he's going to be a 2/2 now.
Okay.
So I'm attacking for 3, 5, and 7.
Okay. All right, so how much does he have total?
So he is a 3/4.
3/4, and he's a 2/2?
2/2.
Okay.
And he's a 2/2.
Okay, so I will go ahead and defend with Kite Sail Freebooter against that. You can have your card back there now. So he's gone, and so I take 2 and...
So it's going to be 3 and 2.
Okay, so 5.
So 5.
Oh, God, I am bleeding out of every orifice possible here. All right, I guess I'm up then. All right. Okay. So we'll play another land, draw a card. Oh, that doesn't help at all. This game is going to be done here in a second. Jesus Christ. All right, let's go ahead, and I'm going to... pay four and tap and deal three damage to target creature. So we'll get rid of him.
Okay.
So that token creature of yours is gone. And. Oh, Kyle, make this a quick episode. Send me to the Great Beyond.
Send you to the Great Beyond.
I have five health left and I haven't done anything to you.
Untap.
This is truly a destruction deck, folks, and he hasn't even touched like half of it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything surprise wise. My hand is garbage.
Okay, so.
See, and he wants to go play Friday Night Magic too, folks. Like, he's talking about this, like, wanting to go and play against like randos and that too, and it's like, I'm going to lose a lot. Yeah, see, I'm watching you put stuff out.
Man.
I'm going to lose really hard if I go out and play against randoms because these people that play here in town are pretty aggressive. Tap, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are like would like be like packing heat. And it's like if they lose, I'd end up getting shot. Not really. That wouldn't happen. But it's just we got some aggressive players in this town.
So he gets a 1-1.
He gets a 1-1. So now he's like
a creature enters the battlefield under control because I played it after him. It doesn't count. I'll give you that. So
you can, thanks. Appreciate that, even though you've got
So I am going to attack for three, and then that makes him that makes that eight.
That literally is it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I had five health there and I took Kyle got the Mortal Kombat finish him, you know. Call out, and sure enough, here he is, like, you know, ripping out entrails and hanging me from the rafters with my intestines, and then, you know, punching my head off or something like a pinata. You know, it's like whatever.
That was a pretty brutal one.
That hurt.
That was pretty
well. Brutal. Here's the problem, though, Kyle. Like, look at this. Like literally, I did another one of those where it's like everything I drew. I had that one creature, that first creature there, the hobble fiend, mm-hmm. and everything else was mana. That was literally it.
Oof.
And so it was like it was that. Now, hold on. I'm going to grab these other cards here just from the deck and just see. Oh, okay. Okay, so I did. I had stuff coming up that would have probably helped, but God bless America. Well, then.
Believe it or not, that has the Vigilante at a cost of five, I think, is one of my most expensive cards in this deck, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you got lucky with your draws, especially with all that mana that came out too. Jesus Christ. Yeah,
and there are a lot of cards. Like I've got in this deck, I'm gonna say it's a flash or something. Where is it?
Oh, a card with flash. Oh, you can shock. Play like an instant. Oh,
okay. Deals two damage to any target. So, and I've got like three of those in my deck, so I can deal two, just basically six damage directly to you. There's other cards that do that too.
I wish I had my dinosaur deck because, like, I should have played that one here against this, especially because knowing this was a destruction deck, mostly because I know that there's a certain combination of dinosaur cards I can get because I have a couple of them in that hand. That if I get a certain combination, mm-hmm. I can deal like 21 damage in one hit, right. And it's like, oh God! So here I am suffering. But that is a short episode for you guys. Episode 3 of Fireside Magic. So, Kyle, I guess thanks for making it so short.
Yeah, you know, we do what we can, but
he's a generous god.
Well, thanks for comparing me to Xerxes, but you know,
we know how that ended. Anyway, so with that, guys, that's it for this episode of Fireside Magic. If you like what you're listening to, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. If you're not sure where to find us at, go check us out on our homepage at anchor.fm/the-npcs-podcast. You find all the platforms we're supported on. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you all later.
Laters.